The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 1,175 points. Today, it's down right now about 10 points. It was the largest single day point drop on record, but that doesn't really mean anything because, you know, the Dow is at 25,000. The performance came on the heels of the Dow falling 665.75, not 666 on Friday. You can round it up, but that's not the way numbers work. Barely 2 weeks ago, the Dow peaked at 26,616. Then between last Friday and yesterday, it lost over a month of gains. It's the worst 2 days the stock market has seen in almost 2 years. However, the market is still up 26% in the last year. The typical annual growth is about 8. Too much, too fast, perhaps. One director at the brokerage firm said, "This is the first time in a while I'd say it feels like borderline panic type selling. We haven't seen something like this since the Brexit vote." But a director at a different firm said, "The markets are just taking a bit of a breather, which I'd argue is somewhat healthy." Yes, things like this actually slow down a melt up. You don't want money just to keep piling in and piling in faster and faster and faster and faster. That's dangerous. So is this a snowball or is this just really nothing? Is it a snowball that's going to lead to an avalanche or a snowball that's going to be made into a snowman? Some bond investors are spooked about there being more inflation on the horizon than they originally forecasted. In its effort to slow down inflation, the Federal Reserve has caused a lot of problems in the past when it becomes overly jumpy and tweaks interest rates too much. Investors got nervous that the Fed might do this and do their usual tinkering and make things worse yesterday. A lot of this over the past couple of days is psychology. The market has gone so high, people are worried that it doesn't make sense for stocks and bonds to stay at the level that they are, so they're tapping the brakes. But what happens if the brakes are out and we're headed downhill? That's possible because the last hour of trading yesterday was a combination of AI and humans. Humans can tap the brakes. Once it breaks barriers, however, and the stock market is controlled by AI, there's nobody stepping in saying, wait, this is panic selling, don't. That's why it dropped, 500 points in just a couple of minutes. The government is also borrowing more money than ever. Retirement funds are in crisis. You couple these conditions with the volatility in Europe and add on the immigration issue over in Europe and here. And the world seems to be on the verge of a massive reset. However, I don't think this is it. Not yet. I believe this is just a correction. But here's the super good news for you. I'm always wrong on timing.
It's Tuesday, February 6th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Now, I read something really interesting today, the psychology of loss aversion. It explains why so many people, for instance, just a few years ago, you would talk about a stock market like this and we could have a reasonable conversation, except with people on the left, because they would just go haywire and they would say, "That's crazy. That's no, there's nothing to it." We could have a reasonable conversation and say, look, it's you know, just look at what we're spending. We're borrowing $1 trillion in the next 12 months as a country. And we're putting a $1.4 trillion stimulus package together. We're spending money like crazy. That's not good. It's not healthy. Our debt is already at $22 trillion. And yet, our side is suddenly fine with a $1.3 trillion stimulus package.
You keep lowering it. I mean, the quote from the speech was at least $1.5 trillion. And we've heard at least up to 1.7. So that seems to be the general range for the target of this thing. And, you know, look, it's we've always said as conservatives, we want lower taxes. In conjunction with lower taxes, we want lower spending. And we have to watch that. I mean, you know, look, all the gains that have happened, you know, from the economy are at risk if you start spending money like Democrats. And we all know that. That's something every conservative knows. You don't spend money like that. You don't spend, I mean, you know, we had an introduction of about $3 trillion of new spending in the great speech from, you know,
the president the other day.
And that's just, you know, one way to go. But combined to what we're talking about with the economy, and you talked about this, if you want to go back and listen to it, it's on the podcast today. But if you listen to the, you know, the breakdown of that, one of the important things is you can't just spend forever. It can really, you know, put at risk the gains in the economy and the positive effects of the tax cuts. We like the tax cuts. The tax cuts are great, and the tax cuts are having positive impact. But what's going to happen to our deficit if we combine the tax cuts with new spending? Because that's what Democrats want to do, is they want to tax and spend, right? They've always said that it's a tax and spend party. They want to get more money from you so they can spend more. And we're the other side. We want to get less money from you, and we want to spend less. We want to shrink government. Well, this combination of getting less money from the people and spending multiple trillions of dollars in extra finances is going to be a major problem.
So here's the real problem. Here's why the Dow went down. And I'm going to touch on this real quickly. I'm going to really lay this out on the chalkboard tonight at 5 o'clock on the Blaze TV. But let me just quickly do this. Your wages are going up. That's a good thing. You're getting more tax dollars that you are not sending to Washington. That's a good thing. You're going to spend it. That's going to cause inflation. That's not a good thing. The Fed is going to raise interest rates. In some ways, it's a good thing. Economically, that needs to be done. For you, it's not a good thing. For companies, it's not a good thing. That's normal. What's different this time is all of that is happening with a $22 trillion debt and another $1 trillion of raising in the next 2 months. We need to raise, the Federal Reserve or the Treasury needs $1 trillion. That's 84% higher than last year. They need to raise that. Well, if your stocks are volatile and your interest rates are down, you're going to need something to park your money. So people are going to go to the Federal Reserve and they're going to buy Treasury bonds. And they'll buy them, and they'll buy them cheap, and the Treasury will offer high interest rates, and that's where all your money will go. All the investment that could happen is going to the federal government instead of companies. That's the problem. That's the problem. Okay, let me give you the Lawson version. So we used to be able to have these conversations, but there is something that is happening, and we have to recognize it in others and in ourselves, because it's natural and normal. People protect what they have. Psychology has proven a loss aversion ratio of between 1.5 and 2.5, which means you're more likely to act in a way that protects what you currently have rather than rock the boat. So most people are adverse to losing. But it's why people become more conservative, and I don't mean it in the traditional way, conservative in what they do when things are really good, and they're hostile to anything that threatens it.
The conservative, not in a political sense, but like in an investment sense or just a lifestyle sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You anything that, for instance, if you invested in Bitcoin, you don't like anybody talking down Bitcoin. Hey, I got money in Bitcoin. Say nice things about Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You don't spook the markets. Okay. It's why when we were talking about Barack Obama and the economy, why we believed it, because you weren't getting the money. You weren't getting the money. The big corporations and all of the special interest groups, all of the people were getting it. Some people got very, very rich. And those were the people, surprise, surprise, in Washington and New York. Those are the people who got rich. Not you. In Columbus, Ohio, you didn't get rich. They did. And when they controlled the media, they had a real problem. Don't talk it down. Don't say those things. What are you, crazy? You're a revolutionary. You hate government. Right? Remember all of that? We were saying, no, this is just not working. This is not right. Now it's working for you in the middle of the country because you're getting the tax cuts. And so right now it's working for you, but it's not working now for anybody who is in the stock market big time. It's not working for Wall Street. It's not working for the special interest groups in Washington. What did they get out of it? It's working for you. And so now those people are the ones talking it down and saying, wait, I'm not sure. Let's say, hey, this is really bad. Listen, I want you to listen to Donnie Deutsch. Listen to this and tell me if you heard any of us who were part of the Tea Party ever say anything close to this on television.
This is frightening stuff if you are an American. If you're somebody who's 80 years old and sitting at home and you've watched the greatness of this country, you should be terrified. And if you're a 12-year-old and the future is in front of you, this is terrifying. This is not time to analyze and pundit. People, we need a revolution at this point. And I'm not doing TV here, and I'm not going, ooh, no, crazy no. Donnie. Well, this is what's going on.
We need a revolution here.
That was crazy.
He called the president a dictator. Now imagine.
I mean, I guess, you know, because I don't remember ever saying we need a revolution right now.
I was the one saying we don't want a revolution. Yeah. You never know how revolutions end. You do not want to go to the streets and have a revolution.
I mean, they would point out, you know, Ron Paul's campaign slogan right. had revolution in it. And, you know, obviously the Tea Party is sort of named after
the revolution.
The revolution. But it was always in a is that seems to be a
revolution
legitimate call for it,
the,
right?
A revolution at the ballot box. That's what we always talked about.
Yeah.
But that wasn't good enough. Now, why is that? Because it was working for them. It was fine for them. They were getting the things they wanted. And so they were just like, shut up. Don't rock the boat. What are you doing? It was their natural instinct to protect it. Now, that should the press needs to be aware of that natural instinct and stop it. It is my natural instinct as well to defend people who I don't really necessarily like or I really believe in everything, but they're furthering our goals. It is my natural instinct to do that as well. But that's not my job. It's not my job.
It's everybody's natural instinct.
Yes.
Right? You look for ways to defend what you like. It happens on the internet all the time with people's points, right? They don't want to lose the point. So they'd rather sit here and defend a position they know in their heart of hearts is not accurate, is not true. But they just don't want to give up that ground. They don't want to lose.
And they're more willing to accept, for instance, we would be more willing to accept that the country is in financial trouble under Barack Obama, half the country would feel more comfortable saying that than they would with Donald Trump. Even though both of them are dangerous for the country's economy, right now somebody is in their car going, "You damn you, Glenn Beck, what are you saying?" $1 trillion of borrowing for spending of this year and a $1.5 trillion spending package. I'm being consistent. I was against $787 billion. I thought that was outrageous. This is double that size and an 84% increase on government spending without the stimulus package, an 84% increase on loan guarantees of going out and raising. We have to raise by, I think, March, $1 trillion. That's insanity. And we should all be able to admit that. What we have to admit first is there are things that I don't want to because my natural instinct is things are working. Things are going well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't talk that down. We're not talking things down. You should not feel that way. If you want to talk about things, you're not talking things down. You're talking reality. And when we talk reality, then and only then can we fix those things along the way to make sure that that reality doesn't turn into a nightmare, that we turn it back and say, OK, that was our reality that we were facing. But we did the hard things to make sure that we went in another direction. And that's what we're missing right now.
And I think one thing we've seen with the Trump presidency specifically is when he flirts with some of these ideas that don't align with conservatism. And that has happened. When he flirts with those things and his people push back,
he changes.
He sees the light, right? And, you know, that is why I think it's important for people who do. I mean, you know, like, he's not going to listen to Glenn Beck, you know, and not going to listen to me. But he will listen to you if you look at if you're one of his supporters and you're the people that fought for him in the streets and voted for him. And you say, look, it's legitimate to say, we love these tax cuts. We love a lot of the deregulation stuff he's done.
Love
we
it.
Love, you know,
love
that he it. Has a guy who, in the it's Supreme great. Court who's done, who sees the country the way the Constitution
is written
and designed. But at the same time, you can't cut taxes and then throw. And that we're just talking about the stimulus here. Let's talk about the Family Leave Act he wants to do. There was multiple spending proposals he's proposed.
And $3 trillion
in
spending.
About $3 trillion of spending on the high end. It was probably about 2.5 on the low end.
And let's say he only gets a third of that.
Yeah,
that's too much.
We don't need to funnel multiple trillions of dollars from the government, from us to the government, so that they can spend it on God knows what. I mean, it's not a good idea. It wasn't a good idea with Barack Obama. Isn't a good idea with Donald Trump. And maybe if his people say, hey, we love you, but don't do this thing, he'll actually listen.
Yes. And it's important. At some point, the debt is too much. You know, I know we've been saying this since, you know, it was at $10 trillion. It's at 22. It will be 23, minimum 23 by the end of this year. That's not good. At some point, it's too much and the camel's back breaks. So where is that? I don't know. We should be going as a group. We should be pushing in the opposite direction.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.